Well, as you can see, I'm not Pastor Dan. He is not feeling well this morning. He'd got in contact with me yesterday, and we'd been out of town for a week on a little vacation, and we'd had a revival scheduled, and it canceled due to COVID, and he asked me, could I fill in? So somebody said a while ago I was the pinch hitter, and I said, well, I beat nothing but not by much, okay? But it's so good to be with y'all this morning. I want to tell y'all, I love the Pleasant Grove Baptist Church, and I thank God for y'all are a blessing in our ministry, and your pastor is a dear friend to me, as well as a great pastor. I so thank you for doing some nice things for your pastor and your staff for pastor appreciation. And wasn't that so good of Jeff to be willing to take care of Dan's envelope for him? I mean, see how they work together. It's just wonderful, isn't it? This morning, I want you to find your place in your copy of God's Word. And I'm going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in the first four verses. And I'm going to be speaking on this subject, the protection of the resurrection. The protection of the resurrection. Today I'm reminded, and I want to tell you, I'm standing here as a preacher of the gospel, but I'm a man with a heavy heart this morning. Throughout my life, God has blessed me with some wonderful Christian friends. One of those couples that God has blessed Diane and I with is Harold and Jeanette Underwood. They've been missionaries in Browning and Cutbank, Montana for 25 years, ministering to the Blackfeet Indian tribe. And they had, at one time, they pastored three congregations at one time. They would drive almost 200 miles every Sunday ministering to those people groups there. Recently, they moved back to Blairsville, our hometown. These folks graduated high school with my parents. They're in their 70s. Ever since they moved back, Miss Jeanette's had cancer. This morning at 6:10 a.m., she met Jesus face to face. And today I'm talking about the resurrection. But this morning it means even more to me, because I know she trusted Jesus. I know she saw him this morning face to face. Now, my heart's sad here, but my soul's happy. Does that make any sense at all? Okay? And hopefully when I get done today, I'm wanting to be an encourager to you about the good news of the gospel and the protection it offers. But I want to tell you, I want to tell you this. At the end of the message today, if you're not certain that you're a born-again Christian, I beg you, please don't leave this place without being properly prepared. See, this morning at 6:10 a.m., Jeanette Underwood was prepared to make a crossing. She'll not need no more IVs. She'll not need no more cancer treatments. She'll not need any pain medication. She's in the land of endless days and the joy of the Lord and His presence. And y'all, if y'all don't watch, I'm going to amen myself here, all right? Let's stand and honor the reading of God's precious word. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and that's many of us here today, and wherein ye stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Let's bow and pray together. Father, we ask you now, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to just manifest your presence in this place. Lord, we have been led to worship in fantastic manner here today. Boy, the choir and the solos, it's just been, and us as a congregation, what a wonderful time to worship you in spirit and truth. And God, we've attempted to glorify you because you're worthy. And now, Lord, we ask you to have your way in the word, but in the hearts of those that will hear. Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you, I pray that today he or she would give their life to you. Maybe some that are walking in a guilty distance, God, you'd draw them close and clean again. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The protection of the resurrection. And we're going to look at three things this morning, and I try to value your time. And when a Baptist preacher says he's going to be prompt, that don't mean anything. Y'all know that, right? I'm getting in trouble when I say this won't take long and I wind up and run over. So I didn't say that this morning. But the first thing I want us to look at is that this is a great message of hope. I'm a simple person. I don't make apology for that. I'm glad for that. I like things simple. Complicated things bog me down. I don't think I'm alone. Neither can I get a witness. Most everybody wants things simple. What I just read you, I believe, is the most clear, simple, precise place in the Word of God where he explains the gospel. And the gospel is simply this: the death of God's only begotten Son, his burial, we'll go through this in a minute, and then his resurrection. So that's what it is, and literally it means good news. And boy, if we ever needed some good news, it's right now. Amen? We need some good news. But it's so simple that many people will bypass it and spend eternity separated from God. Now, some will say when they hear some singing, well, that's gospel singing. Sometimes I've heard some songs, old and new, that theologically don't meet the standard of the gospel. Have you ever? There's some out there. They sound good. We sing some of them, but they're not the gospel. Some say, well, there's a byword or a slang. We say, that's the gospel. And we call something the truth. That means it's true, but that's not the gospel. Now, I'm a fairly calm preacher. I usually don't spit no farther than the first or second row, okay? But I grew up around what we call some hellfire and brimstone preaching. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And I tell you, a good dose of the Holy Spirit would do us Baptists some good sometimes, amen? But I've heard some of that hellfire and brimstone preaching, and they didn't even go close to the gospel. Don't get mad at me now. Just because we got a style doesn't mean we're doing the right thing, okay? We got to declare the gospel. I appreciate what your friend got up here and talked about your pastor being true to the Word of God, and I know he is, and I thank God for the good men of God that I serve with here in our two associations. I believe we got a bunch of good pastors who are proclaiming the wonderful Word of God in its whole entirety, the whole counsel of God. So Adrian Rogers, one of my preaching heroes, he's in heaven now. He made this statement. He said, if we heard more of hell from the preachers, we'd have less hell in our communities. And I agree with him on that. The gospel is this. It's the proclaiming of the substitutionary death of sinless Jesus Christ in my place. I deserved it. He didn't. Then his burial in a graveyard near Jerusalem. I'm so glad they put him in a borrowed tomb because he weren't going to need it long, was he? Grave couldn't hold him. Then the grips of death as resurrection took place, they just couldn't bind him. And majestically, unlike any event ever before or since, it'll never happen again. One time, the Son of God stepped out of that old tomb. Don't you know death didn't know what to do with that? Death had never had that happen before. He had never lost one. Now he's lost all of them that'll submit to that one. Woo! Yeah. Amen, preacher. Yeah. It's a great message of hope. Listen to me. Right here's where I want to encourage you as the church. Listen, if we were doing a good job proclaiming the gospel, there'd be a whole lot more people being saved right now, okay? Because people are searching. People are hurting. I don't know if you've noticed this or not. Folks are dying all around us, okay? We've got a plague on our land. The enemy's doing this, and it's killing people. And they don't know what to do. And guess who they're looking to for hope? The church. And guess what we're doing? Not much. Getting pretty quiet in here, ain't it? I'm just being real. I'm going to be honest. It's scary. I've never been around anything like this in my life. None of us have, okay? And about the time we think it's about to get behind us, it fires right back up worse than it ever was. We don't know what's next. You know what? We ought to have expected this. The book says things will wax worse and worse. But we're not people without hope. You see, we're people who are going to experience the resurrection one way or another. And Romans 1:4, the Bible says that he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. Listen how? By the resurrection from the dead. You see, that was something unheard of, unusual, because there'd been folks that had declared themselves conquerors. One of my favorite stories, as I grew up as a teenager, my dad loved to watch boxing, and Muhammad Ali was, man, he made much of himself, and he was a Muslim. As far as I know, he died lost. But I remember the story, true story. He was on an airplane, and he was up strutting around, and the stewardess said the seatbelt light's on, and everybody's got to sit down and fasten your seatbelt. And he said, I'm the greatest. I'm Muhammad Ali. I'm Superman. She said, Superman don't need an airplane. Sit down and put your seatbelt on. Okay? Last time I checked, he died. You see, anybody that declares themselves a conqueror ultimately will be conquered by death. I've watched kings and presidents in my lifetime, some of them good leaders, some of them lousy, they're dead. Religious leaders, I remember Adrian Rogers retired from his church. We were at the Georgia Baptist Convention, I believe, and he passed away that day. I will never forget that day. I was looking forward. I was about to go to a training, a school that he was going to do for pastors. And I was already registered for it. I wound up, went on to the conference anyway, and it was really good, but it would have been a lot better with Adrian there. But he went to heaven and left us behind, all right? I'm still kind of ticked about that. And I've watched Jerry Falwell and other leaders, religious leaders. You know, the reality of that is preachers die too. I'm kind of slow. I finally figured that out, okay? But we're all going to face that unless Jesus returns. Well, how do you know that, preacher? Because God's word's true and it's left for us to understand. Hebrews 9:27 says this. This isn't Stacy Dyer. This isn't the Baptist denomination. This isn't Pleasant Grove Baptist Church. This is, thus saith the word of God. Listen to what it says. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. I hope you and I understand this very clearly. Unless Jesus comes back first, we're all going to make an appointment with death. You better be ready. Samson in the Bible was one of the strongest individuals that's ever been known. He couldn't escape death. Solomon was a pretty sharp guy. He had a few flaws, like 700 plus mother-in-laws. That'd get you. Amen. All the mother-in-laws really love me now. I'm married to one, so it's all right. He was the smartest man ever to hit the planet in human form. Death overcame him. Methuselah, he lived to be old, but he didn't live to be old enough to outdo death, did he? Only Jesus Christ, let me back that up and say that again. Make sure you hear that. Only Jesus Christ has ever conquered death. He did that so that the world would know without any doubt that He is God among us. Now, He's our King, He's our Lord, Savior of the world, and He met the standard that God had set, and God sets high standards, by the way, and He met that standard for Messiah, Deliverer, and my Savior. And there's just all kind of references of Him being like Jonah in the belly of the whale 3 days. I mean, it's just over and over, and He met every one of them. And it makes us have a sense of security to know He has power over death. One of my friends, distantly call him a friend, but he used to lead our international mission board, and he talked about Tom Eliff. He talked about going on vacation in Hawaii, and he'd put in a security system because he's gone a lot. We had one at our house in Cleveland, Georgia. It made my wife feel secure. It made me mad because I'd trip it all the time and forget the code, and the law would call me and ask me why I was breaking into my house. Okay? But Tom said they're on an airplane. When they land in Hawaii, his family called and said, your house burnt to the ground. And it had fire monitoring and it didn't go off. You know, sometimes things don't work in a secure world that we live in. But aren't you glad that we can have someone we can trust? And I want you to hear what John 10, 17 and 18 says about Jesus. He says this, therefore does my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. Now listen to this. And I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now that's a power player right there. Man. Just the way He handled death just makes me feel secure. The second thing is there's great security in having our sins forgiven. One of the songs we sung, and man, I didn't know till yesterday I was preaching here. You had no idea of my sermon or my text. The service was laid out, but the songs could have not lined up any better. Thank you. It's perfect. One of them we sung about needs. I don't know about y'all. Yes, I do. I know about y'all. Y'all are a needy bunch of rascals. Did you know that? I am too is how I know that. We all are. I got a lot of needs. Y'all got something you need you didn't even think about. Oxygen. Till I mentioned it, you didn't think about taking your next breath. My daddy, we've got a lot of country sayings. I don't know if y'all noticed that or not. I'm a hillbilly. Okay, I'm glad of it too. Y'all gonna feel funny when you get to heaven and everybody talks like this, okay? Remember that, all right? Now I want to tell you something. My daddy said this about, there's a guy in Blairsville, he's sorry as all get out. Lazy, daddy. Here's what my daddy said. If breathing didn't come natural, he's a goner, okay? Makes sense, don't it? But it does come natural. You know why? God's meeting your needs. Not only does He trigger your body to breathe, He provided the oxygen that you breathe in. And by the way, it's perfect. It's mixed just right. I don't know where he mixes the big valves at, but he's got one. It's a dandy too. I need water. I drunk a bottle between services. I got to have it. It takes a lot of water to run a windmill. I need food. Look at me. It takes a lot to keep a figure like this, okay? We need shelter. We need money. It takes resources. I need love and affirmation. I need companionship. Did I mention we got a lot of needs? That's just a few of them. Let me tell you something else I need. I need forgiveness. I'm a sinner. My problem is not what I lack. My problem is what I have plenty of. Me. I came equipped with a lifetime supply of sin and I don't know how to say this other than I give myself more trouble than anybody does. How about y'all? Okay? I told one of my preacher friends one time, believe it or not, preachers get aggravated. Did y'all know that? Most of them won't tell you that. I will. I'll get aggravated and I'll tell one of my preacher friends, I'm trying to keep Stacy from popping out. You know, sometimes I wish when I got saved as 12, 13 years old, God would have done the world and y'all and Diane and everybody a favor if he'd just killed me right there on the spot and took me to heaven. I'd have saved the world a whole lot. But he had something for me to do, lots of things. I've had lots of fun in this journey. But I'm still in here. This old flesh and me, I'm still here. I came with a lifetime supply of sin that has to be forgiven. It needed a covering. And the penalty of that sin, you know what the penalty for the Bible says, the penalty for our sin, the wages of it? Death. Now, here's the problem. It's kind of like the COVID situation right now. Nobody's got the answer for it. I hadn't heard the clear, concise answer for it. Have you? Nobody had the answer for our sin except God. And it wasn't even a stretch for him. In one little easy swoop, in a moment, in a blip of history, he sent his only son to pay the price, to be the atonement, paid in full. And he established, he set up a trust account, if you'll have it, that's running over. It's making more interest than can be spent. The price for the penalty pours over the top of the pot because it's so good, y'all. And in that one move that God made, he made it available so that whosoever will shall be saved. Okay? How does he do that? I believe he tells us again with his word, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Listen to this. By Christ Jesus. Whoo, his son's enough. You know, there's a lot of wealthy people in the world that we live in. Johnny Hunt was pastor at First Baptist Woodstock, retired. Recently you had the new pastor, Brother Jeremy Morton, here preaching your revival. Good friend of mine, love Brother Jeremy, love Johnny. He's poured into mine and Diane's life and preachers all over this country, and Timothy Barnabas. And one of those preacher training encouragement sessions, he shared about witnessing to Ted Turner. And he sat down, he got the opportunity to have the audience with Ted. And Ted had, and Johnny shared the gospel with him, and Ted made this statement. You probably come from a long line of preachers. And Johnny said, no, I grew up in the pool hall hustling pool tables. God saved me. Ted said, you mean your dad and your granddad and your great-grand wouldn't? Nope, no, they wouldn't preachers. My daddy was an alcoholic, left my mama and our brothers and sisters and left us. He said, my granddaddy was a moonshiner, slept with a shotgun on his pillow, slept with a house full of highly explosive, flammable, clear liquid. Y'all know what that is, right? And Ted said, I'm not really where you are with all that, but listen to what he said. I'm going to read this because I wrote the statement down. Ted Turner said, if I believe that like you Christians say you do, I'd spend every dime I have to spread that kind of message of hope. Wow, that's a lost man. Now let me say something. If an agnostic atheist saying that, how he would fund it, in the modern day church, we can't get 20% of the people to even tithe, okay? If we believe this like we say we do, we'll invest in it. Hello? And I'm thankful. Let me tell you, I'm thankful how you guys here at Pleasant Grove invest in the work of the kingdom of God. Thank you. But let me encourage you, we can always do more. Okay? And I'm going to tell you something. I'll challenge you. You try God in your giving. You'll never outgive Him. I promise you. You try it. And if we're secure in the faith as we say we are, we'll always be known for our generosity. Many times, unfortunately, one of my heroes, Bill Stafford, said this. He said the most sinful time in the Baptist church is when the offering's going on and we rob God. How about that? Wow. We need the gospel to touch every believer in such a way that our lives are sold out for Jesus. Now, I didn't come here to be a negative Ned today, but I'm going to say some things that are real to you. Sadly, many church members are only in and sold out when it's convenient. I want to ask you a question. Do you think it was convenient for them to nail through His hands and His feet? Do you think it was convenient for them to beat a crown of thorns down on His head? Do you think it was convenient for Him to be stripped naked and hung on a cross? That's not convenience, folks. That's sacrifice. You know, being sold out, people think, well, I can't have a life. Let me tell you something. I've had more joy hanging out with God's people and being in ministry than I'd ever had out in a wicked, sinful world. And the worst thing that's been the most harm to me is a casserole, okay? That stuff I'd have been messing with it somewhere else would have destroyed my kidneys and my liver and all kind of things. And the casserole just does it slower, all right? But I enjoy being with God's people. Don't you? Isn't it great? People think they can't have a life. Some people say, well, you're just a bunch of religious fanatics. Oh, we ain't no danger of that much in the Baptist church, amen? We ain't going to go over the edge, y'all. But we got to put God first. And I thank you. I know some of you. Some of you sitting in here, you're servants. I see it. I work with you. And I'm so thankful for you. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Keep it up. Inspire others to do it. Third and finally, listen, I know it's 11:59, but I want to finish. Y'all all right out there? The Methodists are going to beat us to the chicken today, all right? Finally, the great assurance of victory over death. 1 Corinthians 15:17 says, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sin. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But here's a good little word. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so, listen to this, in Christ shall all be made alive. Amen. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of things that are iffy. We just got back from a family vacation event. We went up there to the Creation Museum, the Ark, and we ate it. M-Zara's, we ate there. Somebody recommended a restaurant to me. I have to do it. I had to. It's buffet. Y'all know what that stands for, don't you? Big, ugly, fat folks eating together is what that stands for. Yeah. I resemble that remark, okay? But you know, when you go, y'all calm down now. When you go somewhere and eat, it's iffy. Sometimes it's terrible. You don't ever know. You go to the doctor. Think about what I heard on the news this week. For years they've told us, if you got cardiac issues, I come from a bunch of folks, we have heart attacks. We seldom have cancer in my family. We have heart issues and blood pressure. I'm built like a bowling ball with legs. I don't know if y'all noticed that or not. But they said, take a baby aspirin. Now they've changed their mind. Don't take a baby aspirin. When y'all gonna make your mind up? It's iffy. Everything's iffy except this Bible right here. God put His stand down on black ink on white paper, and He put it down. He hadn't changed it. We've tweaked on it like it needed it. No, it didn't. Don't need a thing. And He just stands on it. He's not iffy, y'all. But what if it was? If Jesus isn't who He says He is, He's a fraud. If He isn't who He says He is, I'm a fraud. Your pastor's a fraud. The leaders in this church are fake and unreal if Jesus isn't who He says He is. As a matter of fact, if you're sitting here this morning and think you're saved and Jesus isn't God among us, you're dead in your trespasses and sin. Did you know that? Wow. We rode by the cemetery out here this morning, out past the church. Probably many of you got loved ones buried out there. When you buried them, you had hope you're going to see them again. What if Jesus isn't who He says He is? And it's iffy. Well, if that be the case, then they've been thrown in a hole out there and still laying out there. That don't sound like hope to me, does it you? I'm going to straighten that out with Bible. 1 Corinthians 15:20. Now is Christ risen from the dead, became the first fruits of them that slept. For since man came from by death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Whoo! For as in Adam all die, even in Christ shall all be made alive. The power of the living Word of God. He is risen from the dead. There is power over the grave. We are telling you the truth. And you are saved if you've accepted Him to the uttermost. All of these negatives I've mentioned are turned around simply because of the protection of the resurrection. The good news is Jesus saves. We have the blessed hope of everlasting life. One of these days, Miss Jeanette passed away this morning at 6:10. She's not going to see the rapture. She's not going to, from this side, boots on the ground, she won't see the return of the Lord. She'll come with Him. But I'm praying. I'm selfish, y'all. I want to be alive when Jesus comes back and splits the eastern sky open. We buy vehicles with a sunroof where I won't hit my head on the way out. All right, man. I want to be alive when the rapture comes, y'all will hear me if that happens. We every now and then we'll fly somewhere. Diane used to be terrified of flying. Now she loves it. We've been to Alaska and out there to Montana where Harold and them's at. Boy, it's exhilarating when that pilot puts the throttle of that thing and it takes off and it throws you back in the seat. Man, I love that. I never got to drive a top fuel dragster. I'd love to try that. Something exhilarating, but it will not compare. You get in that airplane and that guy lays it to it and you think, boy, I hope he knows how to fly this thing. And he has so far. But one of these days, Jesus is going to rip us out of here, those that trust him, believe him. You talk about exhilarating as we go out of here to meet him in the air. And I'm talking victory dance, and I'm going to be going, I told you so on the way out of here. And then, in that moment, everything's going to change. You can find it in 1 John 3:2. Right now, I'm more like me than I am like him. I'm being honest. I want to be more like him. But I'm still me. But when that happens, the Bible says we're going to be like him. You talk about in a wonderful position when we're like him. And we're going to be.